Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Speak. I'm listening. Speak. We're listening.
Well, good morning, 11 a.m. Central Campus. Looking fantastic. Who's ready for the Word of God today? We are in part two of our Speak, We're Listening series, and in the middle of 21 days of prayer. And I encourage you to be joining us on our blog every single day, daily devotionals, prayer points. And this time is only as powerful as we lean into prayer. And it's not the slogan, it's not just setting it on the calendar. It's actually getting in God's presence and praying. And I believe that God is going to send so many unbelievable answers people's way. Also, I know we've highlighted already, but I want to challenge you. You've been coming around our church for a little bit and you've been kind of checking it out, seeing if it's a good fit, whatever. It's time to move from the crowd to the core of our church. Because I promise you, in our church, a lot that we do won't make any sense until you get yourself in the weeds of the family. And Next Step 2 is designed to help you kind of take that next step. And we'd love to be able to host you directly after service. Well, in week number one, I talked about the variety of ways that God speaks to us. If you missed that, I challenge you to jump on the podcast and give it a listen. I'm going to recap some of them today. But today I'm going to try to illustrate a totally different perspective about sometimes when we're waiting on God to speak. And I want you to see this story. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're gonna look at the life of the young boy, soon to be prodigy prophet named Samuel. And here's what it says. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back and lie down." Every parent in the room knows exactly how this feels. They run in the room. "Can I come in here?" "No, you can't. Go back to your room. Go back and lay down." This is what's going on with Eli and Samuel. And it says, "Go back and lie down." So he went and he laid down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him, so he didn't know what God's voice sounded like. And it says, a third time, the Lord called to Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli, his leader, realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls to you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, called out as he did the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it, tingle." Didn't know the word tingle was in the Bible. Title of my message today, Tingle Time. Just joking, it's not. That's funny, I don't care what you say. Tingle time. I'm gonna speak to you on this topic or this thought today, waiting on the call. Waiting on the call, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence that is here. God, we thank you that you have destined us, you have purposed us, that you speak to us. So God, teach us what it means to be faithful when sometimes we feel stuck in between. Lord God, that we leave here differently. Help us to see more of Jesus today. Lord, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, 11 a.m. If we love Jesus, let's put our hands together for him one more time. Come on, we can do a little bit better than that. So my hope as your pastor is that as you encounter Christ and you grow in Christ, that there's some fundamental truths that you kind of get under your belt. There's some things that you've settled as far as your expectations towards God. And one of them that I think you've got to settle as a believer is simply this, that God wants to speak to you. That God wants to speak to you. Like, don't we have like a little bit of a default that we think it's our job to speak to God? But the reality is that good communication is a two-way street. That we should speak to God, but as much as we talk, we should listen. And because we have two ears and one mouth, come on, we should maybe listen more than we speak. And you won't listen if you don't believe somebody wants to speak to you. I see too many believers, they think it's for like the pastor. Oh, the pastor has a special ear to heaven. Or Pastor Jerry, you know what I mean? He's the Holy Ghost guy, you know what I mean? He's the Holy Spirit guy. Come on, everybody give Pastor Jerry. Everybody knows he's the Holy Spirit, man. And so it's like, well, if Pastor Jerry heard it, woo, woo, you know what I mean? Like, it must have been God, you know what I mean? But God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. Listen, this has got to be your confession. You got to personalize it. God wants to speak to me. Let's just all say that out loud. God wants to speak to me. One more time, real loud. God wants to speak to me. You have to have that conviction, because when you have that conviction, you'll start listening a little bit more. We talked about many ways that God speaks to us. And I think for most of us, I don't know if you're like me, but I would actually, there's something in our humanity that says, if God spoke to us audibly, we would have no point of disagreement. We would just readily obey it, because then we know God's real and God's speaking, and we just have confidence because we heard it audibly. But if you read your Bible, that's not normally what happened when God spoke audibly. It's actually right in reverse. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people try to hide. People are afraid. People made excuses. Moses said, I had a stuttering problem. He gave 1,400 reasons why he couldn't do what the audible voice was calling to. Here's what I found. Here's practical things for hearing the voice of God. If I can't hear the voice of God through another believer and obey, the reality is that hearing the audible voice of God probably won't change all that much. Because God speaks in many different ways. He speaks through impressions. A yes and no. He speaks through dreams and visions. How about the Bible? We learn the Bible is the foundation for how God speaks, that in fact, God will never contradict what he's already said. So God will use the Bible as a foundation to tune into the voice of God. How about the Holy Spirit? He leads us, he guides us, he counsels us, he speaks to us. How about this room of community? That God can speak to us in community, in the house of God amongst believers. In fact, I made this statement last week, that the voice of God was never meant to be processed alone. That we need other people to help us navigate this. How about what we're doing right now, the preaching of the word of God? I want to be so clear to our church. We are not here today for a little homily, a little sermonette, a little scripture reading. We believe that preaching is a two-way street in this room. God speaking through me, God speaking to you, and you speaking to God back. Somebody give me a good amen. We're full of faith because we believe that faith comes by preaching and hearing the word of God. That what we're doing right now is a supernatural meeting. God speaks in so many different ways. I think another core belief that you have to have as a believer that you got to get under your belt is that you are no accident. You were created on purpose for a purpose. I know you might have been a surprise to mom and dad, but you were not a surprise to God. That God knew you, he fashioned you in your mother's womb, he gave you gifts, talents, he loves your personality. He's destined you for great things. He has a purpose on your life. And we live in this tension, right? Because we got to believe that God wants to speak to us, and we have a purpose. So we go, okay, God, speak to me about my purpose. We spend so much of our life trying to process the voice of God for what he wants us to do, what he's calling us to. As a Christian word, like I got called by God. Well, you did get called by God. It was called salvation. After that, we're all on equal playing field. Our ability to respond to what God is saying determines, I think, how far we go. I don't think God has favorites or little special little things going on there. I think God is calling everybody. But we live in this thing where between believing God wants to speak to us and then God speaking to us about our purpose, that can be quite frustrating if we're honest. And it revolves around this one word called waiting. Anybody like waiting? I do not like waiting. Waiting is uncomfortable because waiting can produce all kinds of uncertainty in your life. Like, you ever had somebody tell you, like, hey, I'm going to meet you for coffee at 10 a.m. It's 10:01. You're like, are they going to show? You're texting. You're like, do I text right now? They are late, technically. I mean, maybe they got in a car accident. All of a sudden, all these uncertainties, and then they walk through the door the next minute, and you're like, hey, thanks for being late. And you're like, bro, chill. Like, it's going to be okay. You know what I mean? Because why? Waiting sometimes produces uncertainty. But here's what I want you to grab a hold of. Waiting can bring uncertainty, or it can bring clarity. Like, waiting sometimes is a good thing. Waiting sometimes is like a really good thing. Like, when I first met Angela, I saw her like straight away and realized, like, I mean, this is God's girl for my life. But I had to wait some time. Like, how many are thankful that, like, your first kid, there was a waiting process? Like, imagine this, just for a moment. Angela wakes up one morning, we've been trying to have a kid, and she comes in and she goes, babe, I positive pregnancy test. We're, yay, this is awesome. We celebrate. She goes to sleep. We wake up the next day. She's 9 months pregnant. We're like, good night. It's an alien in there. You know what I mean? Like, there's a, you know what I mean? Boom, you know what I mean? We go to sleep. We wake up the next day. She's in labor. Well, oh my gosh, we rush to the hospital. We have a baby boy. We go to sleep, we wake up, he's 24 with a big beard. You'd be like, what is going on? Like, we need a little bit of a waiting process, because sometimes in the waiting, God brings clarity. Sometimes in the waiting, God prepares you for the thing that he's promised to you. God wants to walk with you through some things. Here's what I found is that many times when we're waiting, we think we're waiting on God. Here's what I want you to grab a hold. We think we're waiting on God, but most of the time, God's waiting on us. God has put a gap between him speaking to you about your purpose and where you currently are right now, because he's got a process of preparing you to be the right man and the right woman when you receive all that he's promised. So if you feel like God is a little quiet, here's what I would say to you. Don't get frustrated in the waiting. Don't feel like you're always waiting on God. Let me put it to you like this. Rather than focusing on what God is up to, why don't you look at what you're up to? Aren't we masters at like over-spiritualizing everything? Like, I'm praying. I'm just praying on my knees for 15 years. You know? Praying about what? Like, where I should serve in church? Like, why don't you just start serving? Well, no. I'm waiting on my assignment. I'm waiting. Well, like, what are you waiting on? I'm waiting for God to speak. I'm like, do you ever think maybe he's like waiting on you? Like, we're like, God, we want to sail into our destiny. We got this ship. It's called our relationship. You know, like over spirit. It's like, we have this ship. It's our relationship, and relationships, they're supposed to set sail, God. And I'm just waiting for you to sail me off in my destiny. And God's going, can you untie from the harbor? Like, the thing, you gotta anchor down, you got ropes over here. I'm just going, yeah, like, if you would just set sail, I might be able to put some wind in your sails. But we're waiting on God sometimes. And God's just going, like, listen, check it out. Sometimes you just need, you need to worry about what you're doing in the waiting. Because the waiting oftentimes is preparing you for the purpose that God has for you. So the question is, what do we do when we're waiting? Like, what do we do when we're waiting? Like, when we're honestly in a season where we believe God has more for us, but we're waiting for God to speak, what do we do? So today I want to give you four things out of this story in 1 Samuel. Four things you should do while you're waiting. This is actually going to require a choice and your participation in it. And number one, the first thing that I see from this story, from this young future to be one of the most amazing prophets in all of the Old Testament, here's what I find from his life. Number one, choose to get under before you get over. Don't we want to get over what's in front of us? Like, we feel like we're here, God's leading us there, and I feel like there's a wall, I feel like there's a problem, I feel like there's this thing that's blocking me from all that God has for me. So God, I want to get over this. I just want to kind of move on. I want to feel freedom in my life. But many times God wants you to actually get under something
before you get over something. Let me explain to you a little bit about what I mean by this. It's very hard for our American minds to kind of wrap our heads around this. But I hate to break it to you, like, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. Like, it's not a democracy. Like, we live in a democracy. If we don't like something, every 4 years, we get to vote on it. And I encourage you, if you're not registered to vote, don't make me slap somebody, okay? Get registered to vote, okay? Do your civic duty. Is that clear enough? All right, cool. Back to the Bible. You should vote. You should vote. But we just vote. Like, if we don't like something, we get rid of it. We change it. You know, we feel like, you know, our voice is the most important voice in the whole world, which is awesome. Like, I love that about democracy. The problem is that the kingdom of God is not a democracy. A kingdom has a king. God was never voted in. He'll never be voted out. God's never took up a vote. He's just up in heaven like, thinking about creating a world. What do you guys think? Yes or no? Yay or nay? We got 44 nays. We got 56 yays. Okay, it's a go. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I know they fell apart. Like, hey, Gabriel, like, these people, these humans, you had me. You guys voted for this. This is on you, okay? These people are dumb. Gabriel, what are we supposed to do with these people? And Jesus is over there like, I'll go. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I'll go. And then God goes, really? Like, all right, well, let's vote on it. And you know what I mean? Like, it's never happened. Never been a vote in heaven, which means God rules and reigns with absolute authority, which means what he chooses goes. But the beautiful thing about God is that he equally operates in delegated authority. God is an unbelievable leader. I tried to be a good leader, but one of the greatest mistakes that I can make as a leader is to empower people. And then every time something on the other side of their leadership goes wrong, I bypass them. So, illustration. If I walked by kids and I saw something going on in kids, I'm like, I don't really like that. If I bypassed the people that I've empowered to run kids and went and talked to the kids worker, it may be more expedient. I'm an awful leader. Because the reality is that the only way things get stronger and healthier, when Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, Paul also wrote, I have given the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, for what? The building up of the church, which means God operates through delegated authority. Simply put, God works through leaders. And at some point, you're gonna have to kind of wrestle this to the ground, because in our individualistic culture, we want to only be taught by God. You know, I'm only gonna listen to God. By the way, this is a pendulum in theology swing, where other denominations and other Christian movements for years was you couldn't go to God, you had to go through a man. But we swung all the way to the other pendulum where now we've devalued spiritual authority and leadership in our life that we can never get over what God has called us to get under because we never learned to listen to God's delegated authority in our life. Simply put this, every believer needs the voice of a leader in their life. By the way, that has to be invited into your life. Does that make sense? You have to go. I get people all the time. Pastor Jesse, will you mentor me? First question I ask is, who are you going to mentor? And I don't want this to sound too harsh, but I don't pour into a cul-de-sac. I don't pour into a swamp. If I'm going to pour in, you need to pour out. And this is the God's principles, that we get under some things and that some things eventually end up getting under us. I remember when I first learned this as a Christian, to really value spiritual authority and spiritual leadership in my life is right when I first got saved. I'm like 3 months saved. And if anybody on this planet had an authority problem, it was this guy. Like, if you just looked like you were in charge, I was gonna rebel. Like, you didn't even have to be in charge. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna go the opposite way. And I would like to say that the minute that I accepted Jesus, all that just went out the window, but I had an authority problem. You know what I mean? Like, I know none of you did ever have. You've never had an authority problem or listening to somebody else or any of those things, but I did. And I remember there was a younger gal, I was single at the time, just before I met Angela, who liked me at church. my pastor kind of saw me. He realized everything I'd come out of and the turns I was trying to make in my life. And he called me in the office and he goes, so what's going on? You know, and he's asking me some questions. And I said, well, I think I'm going to try to date her. And he goes, no. Come again? She's a Christian. Check marks number one in the Bible. You know what I mean? Like, she loves Jesus. Check. No, I mean, she's pretty. That's not in the Bible, but it's good for me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going in my head. I'm going, what is with this guy? And he said, she's not the problem. You are. Go to my prayer closet. God, can you believe this? Can you believe this? Where does this guy get off telling me that? What is he trying to control my life? I surrender my life to you, Lord, not to, you know, Pastor so-and-so. You know, I'm in it. I'm going off. And, you know, I know some of you are way more spiritual. You're maybe not as aggressive, but you just get passive aggressive to your leader. Or, you know, da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, or avoid or stop responding to schedules or, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, Pastor, why you gotta be like that? Come on, play nice. Oh, I will later. But we do. I remember being so frustrated. I'm like, I don't want to hear this. And so I'm in the middle of my complaining with God, and God asked me just simply, how do you feel like your life's going? I said, well, it's better than it used to be. And he goes, is it where you want it to be? I said, no. He goes, where do you want it to be? I want to be a pastor. Okay. What are some other things? I want to get married. What kind of marriage do you want? I want a great marriage. He goes, well, let me ask you a question. What do you think about your pastor? You respect him? Like, heck yeah, he's a man of God. You know what I mean? I respected him so much. You think you got a good marriage? I said, yeah. And he goes, is he a great pastor? I said, absolutely. And he goes, so basically if you just did everything he told you to without me even talking to you, you'd be better off than where you are right now. Wait, no, God, I need a spiritual revelation. You know what I mean? Like, I need to be taught by God. You know what I mean? Like, I need angels to ascend and descend. I need supernatural visions. Like, I don't need Pastor so-and-so. You know what I mean? But that day, an epiphany went off in my mind that God was an absolute right. And if I couldn't get under what God had placed over me, I was never going to get over what God wanted to be underneath my feet. Simply put, before I could get over, I had to get under. You got to get where this comes from. In this story with Samuel, the young prophet Samuel, to understand it, you have to understand 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we're introduced to Samuel's mom, Hannah. And Hannah has been barren her whole life, and she wants a son. And she is begging God. So one day she goes to the temple, and she is praying so fervently. She's pouring her heart, her anguish out to God. God, I want a son. God. And Eli, the priest, thinks she's drunk because she's praying. We need more people to pray like that. Sometimes I think people that have never been to our church before come the first time, they're like, it's full of a lot of energy, maybe a little booze. You know, so those people are, you know, they're you know, they got a lot of flavor. You know, but Hannah is praying that way. She's going, man, I'm excited for this. I'm passionate about this. She's believing, and Eli comes over and asks her what she's praying for. She goes, no, you don't understand. I'm not drunk. I'm just passionate. I want a son, and I'm believing God's going to. And here's my promise. If God gives me a son, I'll wean the boy. And then I'll put him under your leadership, Eli, in the house of God. I want you to see this. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 says, the boy Samuel, what? Ministered before the Lord. So our ministry is always to the Lord, but under Samuel. And God was teaching him to serve another man's vision before he got one of his own. God had a vision that he would be a prophet that would shake Israel. It would make the people's ears tingle. It would be full of great authority, but the reality is before God gives you authority, he's gonna put you under authority. And I don't wanna belabor this, but I hear it too much sometimes in church. I'm praying for my ministry. I'm praying to figure out what my ministry is. Could it be that God may not give you your ministry until you serve somebody else's? That sometimes God will put you in a place you don't want to serve so you can understand the difference between happiness and joy. You can learn the difference between faithfulness and just doing what makes you feel good. You can learn the difference. It's always hilarious to me. We lead internships, and I've always led like colleges, like raising up pastors and people that feel called to ministry. And every time I sit down, always the opening interview. So where do you want to serve in the church? Well, pastor, I want to, you know, I lead worship. Lead worship. I want to preach. Call to the nations. I go, oh, cool. Well, I need you in kids. I need you in kids ministry. Oh, well, pastor, I don't know. All of a sudden, I'm like, what? So there's no singing in kids ministry? No, there's no preaching in kids ministry? Oh, so you want people to see you and you want validation where a little kid's more likely to give you a kick in the knee than he is a, wow, that was powerful and anointed, pastor. That bless my heart. It was so powerful and anointing because God's saying, can you get low? Can you get underneath something so then I can get you over something? Be active in your waiting. Number two point, align yourself with God. Align yourself with God. Can I tell you one of the greatest hindrances, one of the greatest problems with communication is hindrances we build. Me and Angela, every Friday night, we go on a date without fail. Every Friday night, we're on a date. It's become a running joke with the ladies at her work because they don't really do that. I'm finding it's really rare once people have had kids that people still date one another. And so they think it's a hoot, and they always are interested, like going, like, what are you guys doing for date night tonight? Because they always ask her to see if we actually do it every Friday night, and we always have a plan, and she always gets to share. So every Friday night, but the point of our date night isn't just to have fun. It's to sit with one another and try to get the walls to come down. Because just in the span of a week, you would be surprised how many barriers are built. And if you don't work on removing those, what are we doing? We're aligning ourselves with one another again. We're removing the obstacles. I want you to see this kind of play out, the contrast between Eli and Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3 says, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, which means God wasn't speaking all that much, and there weren't many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes had become so weak that he couldn't barely see, was lying down where? In his usual place. What you have to understand is this wasn't a usual time. Although Eli was priest, Eli had two sons that served in the priesthood that were up to no good. They had filled the temple with terrible things. God said it was an abomination. He notifies Eli. Eli does nothing about it. And then vision went away. Then the word of the Lord became rare. That he's literally having a physical manifestation of his spiritual condition. His eyes are growing dim till he cannot see. Eli is then just what? I'm just laying down in my usual place. The reality is that the difference between us and the Old Testament is when you got out of alignment with God in the Old Testament, all there was a thing called consequences. Because of what Jesus has done, all there is grace. The difference is that you can be over here out of alignment and still be in the grace of God, but not walking in all of the blessing of God. The blessing of God, the calling of God, the destiny of God happens when we realign ourselves, which means it doesn't matter the mistake that you made or the problem that went on in your past. You have every opportunity to what? Realign yourself with God's voice. And in the middle of a situation where you feel like God, there's no way God's gonna speak to me. There's no way, like my destiny is ruined. God has nothing more for me. God, in the midst of that, if you realign, will speak to you in the midst of that situation. I want you to see what the different posture Samuel has in verses 3-4. It says, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. There was a turning of the page going on in Eli's leadership where God's saying, hey, if you won't address this, I'm turning a page. But Samuel saw that the lamp of God hadn't gone out. I want you to see his response. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of the Lord was. Then the Lord called to him. See, Eli was just laying down in his usual place. Business as usual. Vision was rare. He wasn't seeking vision. The vision for the nation, the voice of God had went quiet. He's not doing anything unusual. He's just kind of just going about business as usual, but not Samuel. Samuel probably had a usual place. He probably had a bed just like Eli. But where do we find Samuel? Lying in the house of God where the ark of God is. The ark of God represented God's manifest presence. It represented God's leadership. And Samuel realized that in a time where vision was quiet, in a time when nobody else was hearing, God may have not spoke to me yet, but I'm going to align myself to the presence of God, because if God knows that I'm aligning with him, he will speak to me. Here's the question. Are you positioning yourself from interruptions from God? Are you positioning yourself to hear? Are you positioning? I don't know if you remember this, but when I was in high school, you know, cell phones were just starting to come out. And, you know, how many remember the Razor phone? Like you were a baller if you had a Razor phone. You know what I mean? Like when I first met Angela, she not only was she beautiful, but she had a pink Razor phone. I said, it's God. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's a little Razor phone. But how many remember the Nextel phones? The Nextel phones. It was like a three-way walkie-talkie. You know what I mean? Like, and you could like three-way. One of my friends in high school had one of those. And his dad, we were kind of like a rowdy bunch. We'd stay out always too late. And I always hated being around him when it was like God like chiming in through the thing, because we stayed out too late and all of a sudden, hey boy, where are you? You're like, oh my gosh, hopefully you have to press, hopefully you have to press a button to hear everything else going on, because he just is piping in whenever he wants to. And so we would always just laugh, and it used to annoy me. But then I was thinking about it the other day, and I realized the only reason his dad was able to speak to him is because he positioned the phone on his hip. He could have took the phone, thrown it in his car, dad's talking, ain't nobody there to answer. And our job in our lives is to align our lives with God, to position ourselves in a place where, boop, boop, boop. Because why? Alignment with God creates an assignment from God. All you gotta do is just begin to position yourself correctly and God will begin to speak. Number three, lay in your place. Now some of you are looking at that and you're like, what on earth does that mean? And as I was studying this passage of scripture, the Bible says on the third time, Samuel goes and he lays back down in his place. And God spoke to me out of that. And he said, there's a word that should be a part of people's spiritual formation that's not a popular one, especially in our day and age, in our culture, in our Western world. And it's this word. It's called contentment. Could it be that our lack of contentment is robbing the voice of God from our lives? Here's what it means. Satisfied with what one is or has, not wanting anything else. By the way, the kingdom of God is full of some of these positive and negatives. You're like, well, wait, Pastor Jesse, I thought you said that we should be full of faith, full of vision. Yes, but the Bible also says that you should lose your life to find it. That you should give and it will be given to you. The kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. And it is amazing to me when you get content, everything begins to flow. Back to my story when I first met Angela. I met her and the first young lady that I met when I saved, my pastor said no. Angela came around and he said yes. But there was a big waiting period where I'm telling you, I was so uncontent. I just wanted to move. I finally got to this place where I'm like, I'm fine without a relationship. I'm fine serving in the house of God. I'm fine giving away my life. And then all of a sudden, this girl from Omaha, Nebraska, I ain't got no idea where she comes from. I look over there and I said, my goodness, there is a Lord. I went to my pastor before I ever talked to her. I said, Pastor, I met this girl. She's from Omaha. She's pretty. She loves Jesus. What do you think? He goes, I think this might be one of the best things for you because you're going to have to go through a long distance relationship. I said, yes, sir. Prayed about it. If I spent my time comparing myself to everybody else, it would have killed my contentment. I got content. I got satisfied and God began to move in my life. Here's what contentment sounds like. I have enough in Jesus. If Jesus never does another thing for me, he's done enough. I have redemption from sin. I have an eternal salvation. I have a God that I'm intimately connected with. God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. If he never does another thing, he's already done enough. I want you to see how this fleshes out in Samuel's life. Verses 8 through 9. It says, "And a third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli, 'Here I am.' Then Eli realized that it was the Lord calling the boy." Notice he's not even looking for God to speak to him. Does that believe Samuel didn't believe God existed? No. He's positioned himself next to the ark. He understands God's real. It means he was content with his place under Eli's leadership. Something in our souls that's always longing, always looking for more, always whatever. And in the middle of it, we can't even get in the flow of God because we're just so desperate for everything. Samuel tells him, go lay down. What? And lay down in his place. Samuel was content just to be in his place. Here's what I want you to grab a hold of. Samuel wasn't looking for calling. Calling was looking for Samuel. When you get under what God wants you to get under, you're going to start to overcome. When you begin to align yourself with the things of God, when you get a little contentment in your life, what you'll find is your calling, you shouldn't have to call after. Your calling should call to you. Your destiny should chase you down, not you chase your destiny. Listen, God does not anoint a task. He does not anoint a destination. God anoints a man and a woman. Which means the anointing of God comes on you, the calling of God comes on you, and everything that God wants to bring your way starts moving your way in Jesus' name. But if you're so discontented, you're looking around comparing yourself amongst yourself, you're gonna miss everything that God has. Point number 4 from Samuel's life, just listen carefully. We're awful at listening, aren't we? Like I said before, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. Listen twice as much. I don't know if you're like me, but this is how I listen. I listen thinking about my response. I listen thinking about what I'm gonna say. I'm the worst human in the whole world for interrupting people. I do. Pastor Kelly, it's so true. So thanks, Pastor. Word of encouragement, all right. I'm awful at it because while I'm listening, I'm thinking about action. And we never stop long enough to listen that we can get all the facts. Here's my challenge to you. Make sure you listen before you respond. By the way, this is what Samuel is doing. He's positioned himself. He's aligned with God. God speaks to him. He doesn't take a moment to go, "Who are you?" He didn't listen. He didn't really ask questions. He just immediately assumes. And here's the powerful spiritual principle, by the way, is that he heard God's voice in Eli. That's why it's so important that you get under something, because it'll train you how to hear. But he immediately runs to Eli and goes, "Oh, you know, what'd you need? I didn't say anything to you. Go back and lay down." Goes back and lay down. Hears it again. He's just responding every time he hears. Eli, the man of God, finally realizes what's going on and has enough wisdom to say, "Hey, this time, rather than responding, here's what you say." I want you to see it. Verse number 10. He said what? "Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is" what? Not responding. I'm listening. And when Samuel begins to understand, he's been under spiritual authority. That spiritual authority has now trained him to hear the voice of God. He has aligned himself with the things of God. He is completely content in who he is. And now the voice of God has come to him and is saying, "Samuel, I'm about to do something in your life that's gonna make people's ears tingle." Don't we love that? We want tingle time. That's what we want, the spotlight. Like, "Hey, look at me. God, listen. God's speaking to me. Look at the prosperity on my life. Look at the leadership on my life. Look at me. Tingle time, tingle time, tingle time." God's going, yeah. So awesome. Tingle time. How about some listening time? Can you get under so you can get over? Can you align with me? Can you find some contentment? And let me tell you, when I start to move in your life, Your calling, it's going to chase you. You're not going to have to chase your calling. How many of you believe that today? Why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you that I know today's maybe not the most exciting message, because basically what the call of today's message is simply this: be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful to do what God has already asked you to do. And God will continue to do more through you than you could ever imagine. I'm going to pray that God would put a faithful, enduring spirit in your life. Father, we thank you today for every person listening to this message. God, that today, God, you would help them to get under so they can get over, Lord God. That you would help them to align all of their life with your presence, with your word over their life. God, I pray that you would make us content, Lord God, but full of faith to keep on moving forward. And God, we pray the prayer of Samuel, that you would speak to us. Your servant is listening. Lord, bless him with your voice, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, church, let's lift our hands. Come on, let's worship.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.